Welcome back to the Ignite podcast. Today, we're delighted to have Adeola Adedewe on the program. Goes by Adi. Adi, thanks for coming on the show. Would love to get an intro from you for the audience.
Thank you so much, Brian. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm Adeola, the founder and CEO of Credit. I migrated to the U.S. about 10 years ago for my bachelor's and master's, down at City University of New York, Brooklyn College. Yes. And one thing that was key for me was, you know, moving from a third, you know, world country to obviously a very well developed country like the US, I've always sought out, like, you know, entrepreneurship or some sort of like leadership opportunities beyond obviously education. And always wanted to be part of something. And ever since then, I've kind of just been within the ecosystem from my background. Like, I worked at KPMG, you know, JP Morgan, within the lending ecosystem, did WeWork for a bit. And, you know, I've started a couple startups that I've kind of exited two of them. And I'm currently building my third one right now, Credit. So that's just pretty much a brief introduction of myself.
That's interesting. You're not the first immigrant founder that worked at JP Morgan and then went back and did a startup in his home country in the portfolio. I actually have another fintech that did exactly that, went back to Pakistan and built a called Abhi.
Yeah.
Well, tell us more about like what that transition was like for you. I mean, and what made you make that decision to come to the States in the first place?
My parents moved here a couple of years before I came in here, and obviously they wanted better opportunities for us. Typically, like the African dream, you know, you want to go to school, better in the college. I was in university in Nigeria, but obviously better like opportunities here after school. So that was like kind of the motivation behind like moving to the US in general and seeking better opportunities. So that was more or less like our motivation of like joining or even migrating to the US, so to say.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, what a wonderful place America is, this big melting pot where you can come from any country and get an education and start companies. And it is still the land of opportunity.
It's definitely the land of opportunities compared to like a lot of like diaspora and like areas too, I would say.
Yeah. And it kind of, it self-selects for people like you, right? And people that are willing to place a bet on themselves.
Yeah, obviously, and there was a huge culture shock, like for me, right? So, but still, I think once you get over, like, you know, get a hang of it, I would say you should be able to get like your foot running with the, you know, prior like path for you, I would say.
Yeah. So walk us through kind of from college to Credit. You said you had a couple other jobs and startups. Kind of tell us a little bit about that, so we can get kind of a little context for how you came to start Credit.
Yeah, so when I moved to the U.S., while working going to school, I was missing my culture, my home. You know, I built my first startup. It was typically a year for Africans to connect to your culture, food. You know, I was very young. I never had a clue about how big startup can actually be then. We got our first offer from an Indian consulting firm in India. They're like, we would like to white label your solution in India. Do you want to like sell the IPL? Like, sure, you know, this will put me through, you know, school and all that stuff. So we kind of sold that early on. It was me and my brother before he joined Microsoft early on then. So he was like the back end. I was like the front end guy. So like that was like my first introduction within this space. Then I told myself, all right, I had a couple, you know, cash at hand. Let me just pretty much, you know, finish my college and, you know, my master's. So I did at Brooklyn College. Back to back, I actually did two masters, one in accounting, another in finance.
Oh, wow.
You know, because they gave me the opportunity. So I was like, so I might as well just do it. And it was affordable then, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So from there, you know, got to, you know, once you finish like your masters, you know, a lot of like KPM, a lot of these big fours come to your school to kind of like, you know, get you to work for them because they want to obviously like train you being like within the tax and accounting ecosystem. So KPMG was one of the guys that gave me my first offer letter. I was very excited, you know, then I started as an auditor, you know, went to like a tax associate. We were doing one of our corporate clients was JP Morgan. And, you know, at that point in time, I wanted to work for JP Morgan and I heard a lot of good stuff about JP Morgan within like the research ecosystem. So I applied and I got it within the credit lending ecosystem. And like you mentioned, one really great thing about JP Morgan is they have a lot of data. And as a immigrant, you love to see those data because it opens your eyes to a lot of opportunities within the US and also back home. Within the US, it can easily be solved, right? But back home is definitely different, right? Because now they don't have access to this data that, you know, this huge corporation has. From there, you know, got an opportunity to get to within the ecosystem of startups. That was at WeWork, and I picked my second startup. It was like a B2B employee engagement platform that helps C-suite levels to communicate with low-hanging fruits like account executives, account managers, regular like sales ops people. And I sold the IP of that, you know, and that was like my first, you know, major sale. And I went back to Africa for a bit, you know, just to like see what needs solving in Africa. And I thought about it, you know, I never knew my credit score, my credit report before I left Nigeria. And, you know, there are a couple millions of people living their home countries in the US that has a lot of credit infrastructure, right? So there is definitely a break. And if somebody can actually solve that, that would be mind-blowing in regards to revenue, but most likely impact, right? Just imagine I'm coming to the US when I came in about 10 years ago, and I'd be like, I know my credit score. I can actually just build it because I have an understanding of it. So that's what we kind of like went into to see where are some of like the loopholes, where can we make necessary changes? What data do they have? So we went to the bureau system in Nigeria, and everything was paper documents. So I was like, well, so this will be extremely huge for us, right? So we kind of partnered with them to kind of build APIs. You know, so that's where we started from the bureau system. And overall, we kind of created I'll call it a B2B infrastructure for them to, for mainly lenders in Africa to pretty much go through the process of their lending cycle. So from the origination piece, right, to the decisioning, we employ AI and machine learning operations for credit decisioning and down to disbursement and also collection. So we thought about that and we said, you know, if we can actually build that, we can easily connect the lenders and then the bureaus to have this data. And that's what we've pretty much been doing for the past 2+ years.
Yeah, I love it. So, what was the kind of the inception, glazed over sort of the, you had the first startup and then there was a second startup and then that second startup led to credit, the current startup that you're working on?
Yeah. So the second startup, I would say really didn't lead to credit. It was my understanding of, you know, while working at JP Morgan, like I mentioned, there was a lot of data that I had access to. So you know, when you get to join JP Morgan, you do a lot of research first. I don't know if you've heard, like the first 5-6 months, they let you do a lot of research, you know, embedded finance. That was one of the things I was working on in credit back then before I joined the lending underwriting team. So you do a lot of research on a lot of processes flow. So I saw a lot of African data that obviously I wasn't privy to early on. You know, within the African demographics, they have one of the lowest data points within JP Morgan ecosystem. So I said, it's either two things, right? It's either Africans that come into the US unbanked and it takes them a couple of years to be banked here in the US, right? Mm-hmm. Or they have no clue about the financial wellness ecosystem. And, you know, that was one of the things that piqued my attention. And I've always kind of did a lot of research, you know, just by doing side, you know, gigs on the side just to connect myself back to my ecosystem and my local roots. But the second startup really helped me to build more or less like a B2B infrastructure. That was one of the things I would say led us to credit, right? It opened our eyes to how big B2B can actually go from an acquisition standpoint, from a customer client standpoint, right? From a team standpoint, right? Those are some of the things I would say really helped us to shape working at credit today.
Yeah. And so let's back up and talk about what credit is and what the platform is and what's the vision and goals for it.
Yeah, so we are, I like to mention it as we are a digital financial marketplace. And for my first conversation, I think I explained the concept of marketplace. It's like a two-sided piece, right? You have a buyer and seller, right? For us, we have the local roots, over 792 million unbanked Africans. That's one end of the stick. And we have over 10,000, you know, lenders within the African ecosystem that have no clue, you know, on how to bridge a financial access point, right? So that's what we pretty much are. We're a financial marketplace where we connect lenders and also like the unbanked Africans, providing lenders, right, a B2B credit infrastructure that helps them to streamline their process of lending from loan origination to decisioning to disbursement. And for like the other end of the stick, which are like unbanked Africans, we provide them access to credit products like your credit score, credit reports, one of the fastest digital banking today within, you know, Nigeria, Ghana, Kenya, and also access to various financial wellness toolkits. Like, for example, what is your debt to income ratio? You know, most people don't tell you this. I came to the US before I heard that term. I never knew that in Africa, right? So So stuff like that, you know, we help them out. You know, would you, if you have a high credit score, you should be able to, you can refinance your really high, you know, interest loans, stuff like that, right? So we kind of help them to connect and we bridge the gap between lenders and obviously the unbanked Africans.
You know? Yeah. So like on the consumer side, it's basically like Credit Karma or Credit Sesame or one of those kind of credit monitoring educational tools, helping the 800 million underbanked Africans understand what their credit is, how to build it and get educated on that. And on the other side, you mentioned there's 10,000 lenders that are trying to figure out, you know, how do I lend to people? How do I assess them? And how do I help them get better at building their credit?
Correct. And lenders want to do three things, right? You know, they have the money, they have the capital to lend, right? So they obviously want to lend out to people because that's their product. You know, credit is their product.
Right.
So they want to make revenue off their lending, but they want to make smart decisions with the minimal risk. And they want to lend as fast as possible. They want to double their portfolio. But they can do all of those things if you have to go into the bank, fill a loan application, takes 2 to 3, you know, weeks for decisioning, and then they give you the loan then you pay back every time you have to come to the bank or you make a transfer via USSD code, right? Mm. That isn't really functional. So it means one end of the stick, they need to do more, right? Rather than the other end of the stick have no clue. So we're kind of helping them to mitigate and also bridge the gap.
Now, are you looking to replace or become the like Experian, TransUnion, or are they kind of more like a partner?
They will be a partner once they see how big, you know, credit access is in Africa. Like I mentioned, data is the king. As you mentioned, cash is king. The most data we have and we keep having as we keep growing our, you know, database infrastructure or our database warehouse, we can make a pitchable event to maybe TransUnion. I think they are the ones in South Africa. And we can tell them, hey, within the West African region, there is a huge unbanked piece, and we want obviously to collaborate with you guys, you know, to bring Vantage scoring into Africa. That would be extremely cool for us, and we can obviously align with those partnerships with these three main huge peers, and they can help us obviously to kind of refine, you know, modeling and also help the banks too as well overall.
Yeah, and so what is the problem that you're solving for the banks?
We're helping them to streamline their process of lending. Typically, right? So it takes them on average about 2 to 3 weeks to assess a loan, right? Because of the entire manual process. So for with us, we're helping them to streamline it to less than 5 minutes. Some customers less than 5 seconds.
Wow. Because some applicants have enough data where you can basically help them get a, are you actually giving them a score, like what their credit worthiness is, kind of like an Experian would?
Correct. Yes. So we have two types of scores. So if you do not have a credit bureau score, we create what we call a credit assessment score. So that is K-R-E-D-E-T, like credit assessment. Mm. And that score is just pretty much to assess your risk level for banks. So we kind of ask you for your bank statements. You want to assess how much you have. Right, we have over 70 plus variables, like, you know, once you have your salary coming to your bank account, how fast do you sweep the account, right? Things like that, you know. You claim you don't have loans, but I'm seeing lending from Adeola, payback to Adeola, right? Mm. So pretty much on reported loans, you know, we kind of create, you know, we use our OCR technology to read your statements. We also kind of create something called like your shopping mall assessment. So how frequent do you shop? Mm. You know, stuff like that. Alternate credit data sources too. So if we have a lot of variables, and that's where we pretty much help, you know, Africans who do not have credit data. So if you have a credit bureau data, that's fine. We can obviously add this assessments to help banks make more intuitive decision. But if you do not have a credit data, bureau data score, we can also create a credit assessment score for you to make you lendable, you know, to lenders and banks.
That's amazing. And then how did you guys go about formulating that model in the first place? I mean, that sounds like a pretty complex model with 70 variables. You're kind of looking at all these different characteristics for how they earn money, how much they earn, how do they spend it. And it basically, does it output like a grade, or does it output like a credit score update 50 or whatever the max credit score is? Is it similar?
Yeah, so we do for some. So it depends on what the lenders want, right? Some of our lenders want to go. They want to still go through the process of 300 to 850. So we can customize our risk assessment score for that. Or some wants it between 1, 0 to 9. You know, from a risk assessment level for an individual. So we can create that based, obviously, you know, based on API or webhook events. And how we're able to do this, my CTO, he's extremely experienced, one of the first employees of SAP Concur in Africa. So he's built multiple OCR technology machine learning algorithms. So this is something that he knows how to do first and from. I think that's the first step. You want to scrape the data before you start making meaningful utilization of the data. And from my experience as a financial analyst, you know, within the ecosystem of KPMG, also my background within finance and accounting, obviously I've been able to create various ratios. You can need to have right what a simple quick asset ratios, your asset minus your liabilities. Like those great ratios, we can actually create various models and, you know, putting algorithms back in it. We can do that in less than a couple seconds. So this is something like, obviously we kind of work together to kind of formulate to make it very, you know, industry grade. And also conversations with the banks. What do you guys calculate, right? So when a user or a customer comes to you and provides you their bank statement, what do you calculate, right? So we ask them and we tell them, hey, give us the formulas, and we can obviously put into algorithms to help you guys work fast and more intuitive.
That is super cool. So how's it going so far?
It's been amazing, obviously. I think it's a wonderful journey for me personally, because this is something different to than the other startups I created. And this is something that obviously has, I would say really facing out a real problem for, my demographics within Africa. And it's obviously very, personal to me in the sense that, we're seeing a lot, accurate impacts, real life impacts on my demographics, even in the country and outside the country. Right. So this is something it's really excited for me. But obviously from a landscape from a startup journey, it's definitely hard, right? Working 18, 20 hours a day.
Yeah.
Is obviously not the best.
Definitely don't kill yourself overworking yourself. You have any interesting stories that kind of stand out from either the banking side or the consumer side with credit?
Yes, absolutely. My funniest story would be when we wanted to launch. We hadn't gotten a final approval from the bureau system to provide access to the credit bureau data score. Mm. And we were launching on a Sunday, right? I can never forget. And we needed, they were not available on that Sunday. So we had to wait on the Monday, and we already had everything planned out, right? We already gave them the nodes. So they needed the final disclosure, and that disclosure just says for a user to be able to get the API access. I know we built the API infrastructure, but because it's a partnership with the bureau, they have the data, we have the technology, right? The patented technology. So, but they were like, for a user to call the data, they need to provide a consent form. And they never mentioned that from our over like 18 months of conversations. And they just kind of slammed that with us. It's an easy fix, but you had to send it to the stores for approval, all the stuff, right? So we did not have those connections. So that was really funny for us, because we had over 600 people come in person for our, for the live event, and I had to announce, hey, this, but gratefully, my guys were really great. They kind of created like an APK for like Android users to kind of download the app, and we kind of sold that. But that was like our first funniest experience and first like real life experience. Like, yes, this is a hard, difficult journey, for me.
Yeah.
But I'd say that as one of my, now it's funny, but it was kind of hard then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any customer stories that stand out, like the way you were able to help anybody in the community in the country in Africa?
Yeah, I would say from the lender's end, like I always go to Nigeria and I'm very close to our customers, which are like banks, because they're the ones paying us. Then I went into one of these microfinances, like think of microfinances are as, community banks here in the US. So I walk, I had an appointment with the managing director for the day. He wasn't aware I was coming. I was in Nigeria, so he was very excited to see me. And I saw him with, I would literally say maybe it's 100 page worth of customer statement data with a highlight pen and his glasses. And he was calculating the credit worthiness of this individual, trying to see if they have any fraudulent stuff. And I was like, can you give us the PDF data? We're going to obviously plug into our algorithm and we'll give you everything you're looking for. And he was like, are you sure? I was like, yeah, this is a lot of statement. I was like, yeah, sure. And it happened literally in like 17 seconds and he was shocked.
Wow.
He literally called every single person within the room for me to do it again. And that was like my first testimony that we've actually built something really unique.
Yeah.
Like for like banks. which like have cores, of course, obviously come from a bank. I know how, you know, really hard it is to have a bank as a client.
That's amazing. And you were able to just OCR the PDF and adjust it into your API and basically calculate the score.
Amazing. Yes, calculate the score, calculate literally some of the things you was looking out for, like the highest spend, how much salary the individual has received. You know, some people would apply on the loan form saying they received maybe $10,000 a month. But when you get their bank statement and you kind of analyze those stuff, you see they earn like, you know, $5,000. And $5,000 was sent via Zelle from their friends to kind of cover, you know, this kind of stuff. We're like, hey, you know, this is something you would have probably missed. If you were doing it fiscally, you're probably going to look at credits and like, oh, there's a credit. So it maybe applies to is a monthly salary. But this is, we calculate this as other, you know, income that isn't frequent, right? So stuff like that. So, yeah.
That's amazing. So what's the long-term vision for credit?
One, expansion to other countries in Africa. We see that there are a lot of cycles. Cycles are obviously are like small, you know, institutions in Kenya, very much so that we can actually plug our system into, and there's a huge opportunity there. But now we're now seeing how do we bridge the gap with African immigrants that are already here in the US, you know, and how can we help them to get better accesses? And I think one of our updates, I mentioned that we're going to launch here in the US. And one of the things we're going to do here in the US would be a cross-border remittance that actually builds credit for Africans here in the US, right? So every of our products still goes back to our core mission, which is actually building credits for Africans, either locally or internationally in the diaspora. And I think that would obviously get us to, you know, our next series faster and also kind of give us much more interest from like traditional VCs that do not really like to invest in Africa, so to speak. And that would scale our operations extremely fast because we would need to now get into a lot of places.
What advice would you give for potential entrepreneurs, startup founders that are looking to build something like this in another, say, African country or Nigeria?
I would say be passionate. My wife always says I'm very passionate, you know. I think it's when you're building something that you'd say to yourself, if I had the solution about 10 years ago, would it have changed my perspective about a certain, you know, certain like life journey, right? So it's definitely different, right? So we've seen people saying, you know, on our Google Play Store, say, or reach out to me personally via my email. They try to get my email online or Twitter or Instagram and be like, oh, I just migrated to the US and now I know so much about my credit score thanks to the credit app. And those obviously statements obviously touches me because it's something I'm passionate about. I want to see people have a different experience and journey, you know, than I did, you know, about 10 years ago. So I would say be passionate, never stop learning. I do learn it. I think when we say we work 18 to 20 hours a day, I think half of those is us learning on the job, right? So if you aren't really great at learning, I think learning doesn't obviously mean opening a book or something. I read a lot of books, you know, but learning is beyond just books. It's like really looking at various use cases and understanding how can things be done differently and then playing out multiple scenarios. Yeah, and I'll just say be persistent because consistency, lastly, within the startup ecosystem, I think is great because you would have a lot of no's and you just need that one yes.
Yeah, know? That's definitely true. How about we switch to a rapid fire round?
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Perfect. Yeah.
Speaking of learning and books, what's your favorite book on entrepreneurship?
That's a great one. I would say Zero to One by Peter Thiel. I think I have the book somewhere
here. Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah. I have a couple. Yeah.
This is Zero to One. Yeah.
My daily mantra when I have something really confusing, I can just open maybe like page 5, you know, where or page 6, where it talks about this biotech startup versus software startup, like different, or about salesman versus like a tech nerd, right? Something like that. Like it was a really great book.
Yeah, that's a good one. What's one technology you can't live without?
My smartphone.
Well, of course. Yeah.
Hands down.
And pretty soon we'll all be having Apple Vision Pro 10s on our face, right?
I know, right?
We probably not yet, this. But probably like 10 generations from now, there'll be like some, you know, glasses and we'll all just, it'll look like you're across the table from me. Who inspires you? Well, let's take this two-parter. Like, who inspires you in the fintech world?
I would say not just fintech, but financial services would be a thief. now group CEO and chairman of Union Bank of Africa, Uganda Bank of Africa, rather, Tony Lumelu. He's very obviously goal-driven. I've had the opportunity to meet him multiple times where he's talked about his how he started, and that's kind of like my own scenario and situation now. He's managing over a bank worth over $400 million, right? So, and he's still growing within the ecosystem. So that's like my number one motivation within like the financial service ecosystem.
That's amazing. What's the biggest risk you've ever taken?
I'd say leaving my full-time job to work in credit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's always like, is this going to work out? You're kind of betting on yourself and
exactly
walking away from your cushy corporate job, and that gives you all the nice benefits and keeps you happy.
I was like on the road to becoming most likely from, if I'd continued, I started as an accounting manager, then I was about to get promoted to director of accounting. So if I went to the, I'd probably be like a, you know, VP of finance right now or something, you know?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I did the same thing, you know, when I left Microsoft a year ago, it was like, okay, I'm going to go bet on myself and do this venture capital stuff. And it's a big risk, but I don't regret it at all.
At all. Never.
What's one country in Africa you believe is set for a fintech boom?
Rwanda.
Why?
It's very small, but there is a lot of tech hub. People would have probably wanted me to say Nigeria, Nigeria obviously from population, but when we're talking about tech hub, I think Rwanda is going to be the next, you know, generation, being that there's so much, you know, insights coming in.
What is the hierarchy of countries right now? So like, if you like in Africa, like one big, you know, continent with multiple states, kind of like the United States, like California is the undisputed king, obviously, of tech. Is Nigeria the undisputed tech king of Africa, or are,
in regards to adoption? Yes, right.
Yeah.
So when you talk about crypto assets, because we are the largest population, right? So you know that obviously puts us at a great advantage.
What's the most populous country in Africa is Nigeria. I didn't know that.
Yeah, Nigeria. Okay. Yeah, hands down.
And then who's second and third place?
Second would be within like the Central African region. I can't remember. I think it should be, you know, maybe Cameroon or Senegal. Egypt.
Egypt. Yeah. Egypt has a lot of engineers. Yes. Yeah, that's true.
North Africa.
Are you a morning person or a night owl?
Morning. I go to bed like 9:10. I have to be up like 3 o'clock because my Nigerian guys, it's 9 o'clock. It's 3 o'clock here. So I'm used to just waking up early in the morning.
I love staying up till like 11 or midnight. I usually probably fall asleep about midnight.
I don't know if I told you, I used to play music. So it's very different.
My
journey for playing music was more late nights than early mornings. You know, the show starts at 12 o'clock. You know, you probably leave, you know, at like 4 a.m., right? Then I go back to my corporate job. So I always hated mornings. But now it's very, obviously, different priorities and different life patterns, you know.
Yeah, it was funny. I was at the Madonna concert with my wife on Saturday, and she was amazing. She's 65, she went on like 2 hours late. So it's like 10:30 at night. She gets on stage and she goes till 12:30 in the morning. So by the time we got home, you could just see the crowd was like pumped. And then by the end, everybody's just kind of like really tired.
Yeah,
you just look around at like the energy level of the stadium went way down by the end of the show. What do you expect going on 10:30 at night? Like your demographic, the people who like your music are in their 40s, 50s, and 60s. So like
exactly, probably should have done like a 6 to 8 p.m. kind of show.
Yeah, so funny. What's one startup you wish you founded?
Oh, I actually have two, but let me pick. Should I say Slack or Zoom? Maybe Slack. Funny thing is, why I said Slack was because of Telesol was almost like Slack.
Yeah.
I would say within that time frame, Slack wasn't really popular. If I heard about Slack model, I probably would have kept that company going today. So I'll say Slack.
Nice. Are you still playing music? And what do you play? What instrument?
The piano.
Oh, nice. You're playing the keys?
Yeah.
What kind of music?
So I usually play like for my gigs, I do like mostly Afrobeats, African music.
Okay. Nice.
But I am a trained jazz player, so I do jazz, you know, contemporary gospel. Yeah, various ranges. Nice. Yeah.
If you could have one superpower, what would it be?
like I for a founder who travels a lot, I hate traveling. You know, so it's weird. I was telling my wife the other day, like, I wish, even when I, like, I'm on Uber rides, I just feel like I should just, like, get to my destination, like, in 5 seconds. So maybe, like, a telepathic, maybe a telepathic superpower would be great.
I love that. My wife's really jealous because I can fall asleep on airplanes. But I have it down. I used to fly up to Seattle from San Francisco. Three companies in a row, you know, a startup, Amazon, Microsoft. And so I just did that nerd bird back and forth. I'd wake up literally at 4:50 in the morning, get to the airport with barely a minute to spare. And then, you know, because I got up at, you know, 4 something in the morning, I would take a nap. So I just got really used to sleeping on airplanes over years.
I don't sleep on moving, you know, like platform objects or, so I don't sleep on planes and car rides. No. I don't sleep. I don't know. Even if it's like very late in the night, I do long trips. You know, thankfully that there are, we have Wi-Fi on planes now, so I'm literally working my entire trip.
Yeah. Well, for anyone listening that's interested in getting in touch or learning more about Credit, where can they find you?
We're both on the Apple Store, you know, Google Play Store. If you're a lender within the infrastructure, you can reach out. You know, reach out to contact us on our website, credit.com. We are open to speaking with you. Those are like three main mediums, our website and both Play Stores.
Love it. So much for coming on. We really appreciate it and had a lot of fun chatting.
Thank you so much, Brian, for having me. We should do this maybe unofficially another time.
Yeah, for sure. Let's do it again. Thanks.
Absolutely. Thank you.